Okay, welcome back everybody to our learning on Sha'arei. We are learning Le'ilui Nishmas and Le'zecher Nishmas, Miriam Frun, Miriam Bas Chaim Mitzchak, Alaha Hoshalom. Her Neshama should have a Aliyah and the merit of our weekly Chabura and the merit of our Torah. So this class is really on Emunah. We've been learning this for a number of years, trying to instill Emunah within ourselves. So I want to quote what Rav Ali Melech Biederman says on Emunah in this past week's parasha. For those who were here last week, you will recall, if you weren't here, I will tell you that we started talking about Emunah Bitachon. A couple of people made a comment on faith and trust, and I said to be aware that we are talking about concepts. We're just touching the tip of a very huge iceberg when we talk about Emunah and Bitachon on such a superficial level. Really, we're talking about the foundation of what our peoplehood is. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the mitzvah of Emunah is the foundation of Emunah. So I want to share what I read with Rav Biederman this past Shabbos, and I think it's so relevant to our class. The Pasuk tells us, is it very noisy out there?
No.
Okay. The Pasuk tells us it is written in this week's parasha. He's talking about Veschanan. V'yadata hayom. This is a Pasuk we have quoted before in relation to this class. V'yadata hayom. You should know today. V'ashevosa alavavecha. Take it from the level of intellect to the level of your heart. That Hashem is Elokim b'shamayim mim'al, in the heavens above, ala arts mitachos, on the earth below. Einod. There is no one besides for Hashem. With these words, Moshe Rabbeinu urges the nation to review and know Hashem is God. Now, Rabbi Biederman said, isn't this obvious to the Jewish nation? Why do we need to review it? Ve'yadata hayam, if you know it already. Why v'hashivosa alavecha? Do you need to review over and over to bring it into your heart? So Rabbi Biederman quotes the Zohar. The Zohar asks this very question. The Zohar says, Emunah, faith requires review. So what do we do every week? We review over and over how to instill Emunah within ourselves. So you could say, oh, but didn't I just learn it last week? And didn't I just learn it the week before? But the Zohar says you need to review it over and over. As the Chidushei Harim writes, Chassidim know a lot of concepts, but they must study them and bring it to heart. Review, ein od, there is none other than Hashem. It seems, however, the truth is acquiring Emunah is not simply realizing there's Hashem. However, you should repeat 10 times, 20 times, 1,000 times, Ein Od, there's no other like Hashem. So it's what we're doing when we reiterate, when we review over and over, we're fulfilling V'yadata Hayam. So you might say, I know V'yashivosa Avecha. No, says the Chidush Arim. No, says the Zohar. No, says Rav Ali Melech Biederman. You have to review it over and over. If it takes 10 times, if it takes 20 times, if it takes 1,000 times, as long as you live, you have to review these concepts over and over. And interestingly, the Zohar teaches, the Jewish, and the Kabbalah teaches, the Jewish nation didn't know anything when they started out, says the Zohar. They didn't know about Emunah and Hashem. They didn't know about faith in Hashem. They were idol worshippers in Mitzrayim. Jewish people in Egypt were idol worshippers. We know that. By Kriyas Yamsuf, Chazal tell us, the Malachi Asharis, the heavenly angels, were saying, Elu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Ve'elu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Why are you saving your people? These ones, the Egyptians, are idol worshippers, and these ones, the Jewish people, are idol worshippers. So why are you saving the Jews over the Egyptians? They're all idol worshippers. But the Zohar says they forgot the fundamentals of Emunah that they inherited from their father, Yaakov Avinu. They forgot. Moshe came and taught them all over again that there's a God. And after the miracles of Yam Suf, and after the miracles of Mitzrayim, and after the man fell from Shemaim, and after receiving the Torah, Moshe told them, until now I taught you Emunah. Now, however, you have seen firsthand what Hashem has done for you. So there's a Mesorah of Emunah, but you can't compare it to seeing for yourself what the Ribbono Shalom did for you. They forgot in Egypt. They had a Mesorah from Yaakov, but they forgot. It was a time, says the Rav of Hester Panim, Hashem was hidden, so to speak, during the time of the enslavement in Egypt. People forgot. But after all the miracles, what does it say after Kriyas Yam Suf? Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo. When they saw for themselves, they were brought to a heightened level of faith. They saw and they believed. A major part, says Rav Biederman, of the process of acquiring faith, Emunah, is to speak about Emunah. Because speech has a very strong power to bring bring truth into our conscience and our heart. So it is not for naught that we spend so much time talking about Emunah. To speak about it heightens our awareness and makes it more real. So we have to talk about it over and over. But the one more nakuda that I want to quote. Does anyone have any questions yet? One more nakuda, one more point that I want to note, because I specifically remember last week someone spoke about Emunah and Bitachon and the relationship between them, and I said that we have to realize we're talking about matters very superficially that are so, so deep. Listen to what Biederman says, I read this on Shabbos. We see from this the importance of speaking about Emunah. Quote, we should even discuss levels of emunah that are beyond us. We should discuss things that are beyond us because it will bring us to higher levels. When we speak about such higher levels, even if it's beyond us right now, it will bring us to truly believe in Hashem. Therefore, we have a mitzvah to recite Kriya Shema every day. Kriya Shema, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elkeinu, Hashem Echad. We bear aid, testimony, witness to the fact that Hashem is one. Constant emunah, constant reinforcement, constant review. This is Rabbi Biderman. It says, even speaking about levels of emunah that are higher than your level, because it will bring you up to higher levels. So this is how I wanted to begin today's class, because I think it's so relevant to what we spend so much time doing, which is talking about emunah and trying to bring the emunah, not just from the level of speech, but to internalizing it, even if it's beyond us. So let us go, please, into the Sefer. We're on page 66. It's very warm in here. Is everyone okay? Are you warm or just me?
It is a little warm.
It's warm. Okay, page 66 in the second sefer. I don't know. I don't know if the air's on. I didn't mean that you should get up. I did not mean you should get up. I didn't mean you should get up. Page 66. An impatient person, top of page 66, an impatient person will find this process very difficult. People want to rush. We spoke about this. We're not going to have more interest in this. We spoke about it last time. Thank you. But we must work with this idea again and again for weeks and perhaps longer. Each person, according to his nature and his level, you must contemplate each thing that you see. Okay, new material. Of course, this will not be your activity all day, right? So on the one hand, he says you have to think about emunah all the time. You never have to remove your mind from it. You always should think about Hashem. That's all you should be thinking about. If you wake up in the middle of the night, what are you supposed to think? Emunah. However, this will not be your activity all day. Men must be primarily involved in Torah study. Many men are involved in making a parnasa. Women in the activities most natural for them, whether it's in the home. Women also involved in making a parnasa. So the point is, people are involved in the mundane activities of this world. Nevertheless, in free moments throughout the day, you should contemplate these ideas, each according to his or her own level. So when you find yourself with some spare time, or when you're involved in those mundane activities, try and keep your focus on the goal. And the goal is emunah in Hashem. You look like you want to say something.
Well, I must be integrating the process of emunah without realizing it, because right now, I think I mentioned that by nature, sadly, I'm an impatient person, and I get impatient over little things. And I'm in the process of I'm working on building a website for a business that I'm rebooting, and I have never built a website before. And so I've been sitting with it for a while, and I would get upset and frustrated. So today, for about an hour and a half, finally, it's beginning to, it's taking shape. It's not this amorphous thing. I'm like, yay! Like something is happening with it, But I was like, hot stuff. I'll do this in 3 days.
No. Oh, you mean you're relating it to patience?
I'm relating it to patience. Okay. And so I've begun to learn patience, that, having to have patience and not realizing it, having emunah and patience, it's like, wow.
It opens up a whole new world.
Yeah.
That's why he says an impatient person finds the process very difficult. Which process? I'm going to say the process of life. If you're an impatient person, life will become very challenging because we want to rush. However, we cannot rush. Even if you're involved in other matters, in free moments throughout the day, contemplate the ideas of emunah, each according to your own level. Another example, ladies, from the middle of page 66. And another example, you can sit in your house and think, was this house always here? Certainly not. Who built it? People, God's creations built it. From where did they get the material? How did they make the bricks? Did a building rise up by itself? Then you think to yourself, just as a building needs people to build it, so too the original material needs to be created. Who made the original material? There must be a master of the world who created the world. So what the Mechaber is saying is that no matter what you look at, it should always take you back to Hashem. If you look at a table, you should think to yourself, who made the wood? Well, the factory. From what? From trees. Who made the trees? The mother tree. Who made the original mother tree? God. Whatever you look at in this world takes you back to Hashem. There must be a master of the world who created the world. If not, how could these things come into being? Not on their own? It's not possible. And so in every detail of life, if you ponder well, you will arrive at the conclusion that there's a creator. We have mentioned only two examples, but to internalize this idea, you must extend this method to others. Okay. Now I want to stop in the Sefer. So I want to talk to you for a few minutes. We might go back to the Sefer. We'll see how much time we have. I need to tell you what happened to me. It's unbelievable. It was not only for me, for my life, but it's for our class. And you will hear why. I'm going to start on the Shema. In last week's parasha of Ve'eschanan, we have what we call the first paragraph of Shema. And in this week's parasha, we have what we call the second paragraph of Shema, referred to as Vahaya. Just going to read the words of Shema. You should be very familiar with them. If not, I will read them. It's in Perek Vav, Pasuk Dalet. Shema begins chapter 6, verse 4 in the book of Devarim. Shema Yisrael, Shem Elkeinu, Shem Echad. Everyone hear those words. Hear, O Israel, Shem is God, Shem is one. The Ayin is big in Shema. The Dalet is big and Echad, aid. When you accept upon yourself Kabbalas O Malchus Shemaim, the yoke of the Master, the heaven upon yourself, you bear testimony. You're a witness. You're an aid that there is a Ribono Sha'olam in your life. The Ahavta as Hashem Elokecha, you shall love Hashem your God. B'chol avavcha, says Rashi, with your two Yetzers, your Yetzer Tov and your Yetzer Ra, which is I think something we work on very, very much in this class, trying to channel our Yetzer Hara, to understand who he is, to channel our inclination to God. Furthermore, says Rashi, your heart should not be divided. You shouldn't be divided over God. You come to Nisyonos, you come to difficulties, you come to challenges, love him with your whole heart. It's very hard. B'chol nafshecha, love him with all your soul. Rashi says, afilu hu no tal as nafshecha, even if he takes your life. At the time that they took B'shal Shotziu Rabbi Akiva La'ariga, at the time that they took Rabbi Akiva out to be killed, Zman Kriya Shemaya. It was the time of Kriya Shema. B'hayu sarkim, I'm skipping some, the Gemara Basra, Masreku Shal Barzal, and they're scraping his flesh with metal combs, and it's the time of Kriya Shema. Rabbi Akiva is saying, Ra'avtas Shem Akecha b'chol vavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol medara. So the Talmidim said to him, Rabbeinu Arkan, Rabbi, seriously? They're scraping your flesh with metal combs, and you're saying, I have to love God, that's the wrong kind. And you're saying, I have to love God with all my heart, with all my soul. So Rabbi Akiva say, Kol chayai hayisi mitzda'er. I was pained on a mitzvah b'chol nafshecha. Masai avol yadi v'akaymena. When will I have the opportunity to fulfill, give up your life for God? Achshav shabal yadi. Now I have the opportunity to fulfill. Lo akaymena. I won't fulfill. Hayamach b'achad. He said the word achad. God is one. He prolonged it. Yatza nishmaso b'achad. His soul went out with achad. A bas kol came out and said, Ashrecha, Rabbi Akiva. Heavenly voice emanated. You are fortunate. Your soul went out with achad. B'chol me'odecha. What does it mean to love God with all your melodecha, with all your money, buy a nice lulav and esrog, buy a sukkah, buy matzah, buy food for Shabbos and Yom Tov, send your children to school with all your money, or b'chol mida u'mida shomo de'decha, with each and every measure that he gives you, you shall love him. Continue Shema, and you should put these words that I command you on your heart. How do we begin the shir? Ve'yadata yam, vashivosa, elavavecha. Know today, make it in your heart. Vishinantam levanecha. Who knows what Rashi says? You should teach your sons. What does Rashi say? Doesn't really mean your sons, it means talmidim. It's not only your biological sons. Make your biological sons your talmidim. It means other people as well, talmidim. Speak about them. V'dibartamam. What do we just say, Rabbi Biderman says? It's very important to speak about these matters because they will become real for you when you live in your house, when you go on your way, when you get up. Oh, what's next? Ukshartam lo'os al yadacha. What is this? Tefillin. You should wrap them around your arm. V'hayulu totofos b'ninecha. They will be totofos b'ninecha. You have tefillin shel yad. You have tefillin shel rosh. You put the tefillin on your arm, the tefillin on your head. And you should put them for mezuzos on your home. This is the first paragraph of Shema. I want to point out it's written in Lashon Yachid or Lashon Rabbim. Ladies, come on. We say this every single day. We don't pay so much attention, unfortunately, to the things that we say every day. Rechman al-Litzlan, it loses its impact. The second paragraph is Rabbim. Ukshartam los al-yad decha. Vayilu tefos bein einecha. Oh, uchsavtam is Rabbim. Okay, that's where you're up to the last pasuk. Asher anochi mitzavcha hayom alivavecha. I command you upon your heart. Vishinantam livanecha to your son. Okay, so the first paragraph of Shema, you're right, Chana. Uchsavtam is the plural, but the first paragraph of Shema overwhelmingly is Lashon Yachid. Good. So we have the command of tefillin speaking to one person. Ukshartam los al yodecha. Your hand, yadecha, doesn't say yadchem, v'yitotvos bein einecha, your eyes, you individual one. First paragraph, Shema. Second paragraph of Shema, Parshas Ekev, that's this week's Parsha, v'haya im Shema tishmu, will be if you listen to the mitzvahs that I command you today, to love Hashem your God, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. What's the reward? I will give rain in its time, early rain, late rain. The crops will grow. Lest you stray, be careful, the heavens will close up. I'm skipping on purpose. V'santem Yisrael al vavchem v'al nafshchem ukshartem osom los al yedchem. Now we have the mitzvah for tefillin in Lashon Rabim. Ukshartem los al yedchem. You should wear tefillin, speaking to the group, the plural, Lashon Rabim, yedchem, you as a whole, many people on your arms, v'yitotofos bein einechem. So it's very interesting because it seems to be you just gave me this mitzvah five prakim ago. In Perek Vav, you told me about tefillin for the yachid. Now in Perek Yudalef, you're telling me about tefillin for the rabbim. So vilimadatam osam espenechem. Once again, we have a mitzvah to teach our children. In the first one, we saw lashon yachid. The individual teaches his individual son. Rashi says his students. In the second paragraph, it is to teach your children as many when you in your house, when you go on the way, and you should put up mezuzos. So there's a lot of similarities between the first paragraph and the second paragraph. What I'm pointing out for purposes of our class is the mitzvah of tefillin, specifically related to Lashon Yachid, and then Lashon Rabim. Okay. Keeping that all in mind, before I tell you what happened to me, even though I'm going to get there, I'm going to make a shaka. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech olam shakol nehi abedvaro.
Amen.
I want to quote Rav Soloveitchik. I'm putting a few pieces together. We began by talking about speaking about Emuna helps us to reiterate, learn, review. 1,000 times, says Rav Biederman, 1,000 times. Speak about it. Take it from here down to the level of here. Even, you weren't here yet, but I remember last week we said that we're learning something that's way beyond us. Rav Biederman says, talk about Emuna that's way above you because it helps you reach for a higher level. Even if it's beyond your level, talk about it. That we looked at we saw the mechaber inside, that even if you're involved in other things, in your free time, go back to Hashem, find Hashem, and you're involved in other things, see a table, you know, you're a designer, I don't know, you're a kitchen designer, so look at what you're creating, I realize Hashem created all this first. Then we looked at Shema. Now I want to quote Rav Soloveitchik. And we saw that to teach your sons means talmidim. What characterizes our society? An unqualified dedication to learning and teaching. Our motto is teach and let yourself be taught. Talmidim. Always in life, sometimes in life we're the rabbi and sometimes in life we are the talmid. Mm. Everyone fills both roles at different points in life. An unqualified dedication characterizes our society to learning and teaching. Teach and let yourself be taught. It demands, listen, please ladies, every Jew be simultaneously teacher and pupil. Every one of us is a teacher, and every one of us is a student. V'shinantam levanacha v'dibarta bam. You should teach your sons, and you should speak of them. Sometimes we're the Rebbe, sometimes we're the Mora, and sometimes we're the Talmid, sometimes we're the Talmidah. Every Jew should simultaneously be, says Rav Soloveitchik, the pupil and the teacher. Every member of society hold with one hand to the old teacher, while the other hand rests upon the frail shoulder of a young pupil. The Mesorah has to pass on. It has to go from one generation to the next generation. Everyone should be the old teacher, while your hand rests upon the frail shoulders of a young pupil. This society represents the essence of Judaism. It cuts across the ages. It cuts across millennia. It holds the key to the miracle of our survival. If we allow Chalila, the Amunah and the Mesorah and Torah to die out with me, so then what happens if one generation? It's very nice to know Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad. It's very nice to know V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol me'adecha. But if it stops there, then what? It has to be V'dibarta bam b'shivtecha b'veisecha. Speak about it in your home. Speak about it on your way. Pass it on to your Talmidim. As the Rav says, and then I'm going to start to tell you what happened to me. An unqualified dedication to learning and teaching. Teach and let yourself be taught. Every Jew should simultaneously be teacher and pupil. Every member of society hold with one hand to an old teacher and let your hand rest upon the frail shoulder of a young pupil. This society represents the essence of Judaism. It cuts across the ages, across the millennia, and it holds the key to our miraculous survival. The issue is, we don't always know when we're teaching. Sometimes we're in a formal structure as teacher-student. And then there's all those times in life when we're doing other things, when we don't realize that our actions are constantly teaching other people. So now I'm going to tell you, with all these sources as our background, I'm going to tell you what happened to me. I'm really excited to share with you because of all my classes, you know, I was thinking which class to share it, and this is really the class this belongs in. Get ready. So we've spoken a lot about patience, spoken a lot about emunah, a lot about shuvisi Hashem l'negdi sa'amin. Hashem is before me. Tamid means not only consistent, but always. God is always before me. God is consistently before me. These are all things, like Rabbi Yehuda says, we talk and we talk, but it's important to talk. The speaking, ha'amanti ki adaber. I speak, I believe, because I spoke about it. Friday, you have to hear this story. It's such a crazy story. Friday, we went away for Shabbos. Me and my husband went away. Our good friend's daughter got married, so we went away for Shabbos, Shabbat Brachas. My in-laws were coming to stay with the children. One kid went to my brother. All the arrangements were made. About 2:45, Shabbos was at 7 o'clock on the card. Real Shabbos was 7:40, so as long as I get somewhere before 7:40, I don't have to park on the side of the road, but okay. 2:45, me and my husband say it's really late. So my daughter says two things make me nervous. I think I've said this here before. Packing and Friday. So what happens if I have to pack on Friday? Mm-hmm. So it's a double dose of, mommy's very nervous. And it's 2:45 and Shabbos is in 4 hours and I know I'm headed into rush hour and I didn't start packing yet. So we ran to go pack. There's a whole reason to tell you this story. Please bear with me. So we went to pack and my husband says he'll shower in the hotel. Perfect. I said, I'll do my makeup in the hotel because it could take me 20 minutes, so it should last till Shabbos. But I don't like to bother makeup, so I'm not wearing makeup. We're packing. Okay. We leave at 4 o'clock. Between 2:45 and 4, I was very nervous. I'm not going around screaming at people now, but I feel so anxious. I said to my husband, if we don't leave at 4 o'clock, we're staying home for Shabbos. I can't go. And these are like our closest friends. I was so anxious. I said, we can't go. It was a very stressful hour and 50 minutes for me. That's the key to emunah. I could stay in this class for 3 years. But sometimes we forget who's in charge. I think I'm in charge. I'm so rushed. I'm rushed. I'm late. I'm not wearing makeup. I need to pack. I need to leave. We left at 4 o'clock. I felt bad. I was so nervous. I texted the kids. I feel bad. I'm so nervous. They're so nice. Don't worry. It's fine. Okay. In the car. Then Waze says 5:30 we're going to get there. So then I wasn't nervous anymore. 5:30. I'm not nervous. I'm going to Tarrytown. Shabbos is 7:40. It's fine. There, Shabbos is 7. I have plenty of time. All I need is 20 minutes to be able to put on my makeup. So we're talking in the car. So I said to my husband, what suits did you bring? So first he tells me what suits he brought. One of them is the wrong suit. Fine. Doesn't fit him anymore. Baruch Hashem. Then he says, after a few minutes, I forgot my ties. Him not having ties, no. The place we were going, you need to have ties. Him not having ties would be the equivalent of me not having makeup. I'm not sure which is worse. It would be like invited to a black tie event and going in jeans, okay? It was not appropriate. Besides the fact that it was Shabbos, it wasn't, minog ha-malkom. So if you're on a kibbutz in Israel, then it's minog ha-malkom, so it's appropriate. It was not the right place to go without ties. So first the suit's wrong, now the tie's wrong, my makeup's not on. I spent an hour and 15 minutes very, very nervous. So I said, next time you should check with me when you're packing. I don't know the last time he forgot his ties in all the years of marriage, traveling. Okay. So Wei shows, please listen to my story. There's a reason I'm telling you the story. I'm not just telling you the story stem. So Wei says we're going to get there at 5:37. So I had an idea. That's plenty of time. I'm going to see if there's a department store nearby. The suit I can't do anything about. I can't just buy a suit off the rack. Never mind, Shanice doesn't fit, whatever. But a tie. Let's see if we can find a tie. So Macy's is about 15 or 20 minutes. Macy's White Plains, we're going to Tarrytown, is just about 15 or 20 minutes out of the way. I said, perfect. We'll get to the hotel 6:10. It's no problem. We'll go to Macy's. So it's the same exit off the highway. Instead of going left, we had to go right. I've never been to Macy's in White Plains. My husband has never forgotten his ties in all the time being away. Keep in mind, I wasn't wearing my makeup. That's an important part of the story. So we drive. What?
You don't want to go to the Macy's in White Plains.
What did she say? I can't hear.
You don't want to go to the Macy's in White Plains.
Don't want to go there? No, it was very nice.
Yeah.
The neighborhood is very nice.
Okay.
Listen. It's like at a corner.
It's been like 10 years since I've been there.
Okay, so we're in the middle of Yehovitzville. 5:30 Arab Shabbos. 5:30 Arab Shabbos. And as we're driving, so I see it's like a mall, like sort of, you know, there's access outdoors, there's other stores. So then we see Sears. So logically, we should have gone into Sears because it's closer. Mm. And why are we trying to find Macy's, which is two blocks away, when Shabbos is coming and we're very pressed for time? My husband says, oh, here's Sears. And we just kept driving for some reason. We get to Macy's. We see Macy's at the corner. We make a right turn. Now we have to find parking. We said, we're just going to go into the store, zoom to the men's section, get whatever ties look nice, leave. And we found parking right away. It was so minishamai. Four cars off the corner. There's someone pulls out, we pull him. It's 5:35. So we get out of the car, and my husband tries one door, and it doesn't work. So I said, no, we have to walk to the corner. So we go to the corner. It's a sunny day. It's beautiful. I don't see a Jew around. I'm in White Plains, an hour and a half before our Shabbos. I still have to get to the place, check in, do my makeup, get ready for Shabbos. And I see three from kids at the corner. So I said, you have to understand, me and my husband, I know the last time I was in Macy's with my husband. He never forgets his ties. I didn't have time to do my makeup. We bypassed Sears. This is after an hour and 15 minutes of being very stressed. I'm late. I'm in charge. I have to go. I have to make it in time for Shabbos. And there's these three from kids at the corner. So I said to my husband, how do we know? They're teenagers, because it's 5:37 at this point. And they're wearing black pants, white shirts, black jacket, and hats. They're from. Three from teenagers. So my husband said right away, they're Chabad. Chababichers. Oh, so we stopped for a second to watch them. You have to understand, had we been a block away, I wouldn't have even gotten there when they were there. Had I gone into Sears, I wouldn't have even gotten. What are the odds that I'm standing at the street corner in White Plains an hour and 20 minutes before our friends are making Shabbos because my husband forgot his ties and I found parking right away. I didn't circle. There was a person approaching in a wheelchair who's wearing a big floppy sun hat. And the wheelchair stops in front of these three kids. I'm very close to them. I'm like here to you, okay? To the street corner. Maybe even a little closer. And the wheelchair stops, and the three boys start talking to the man in the wheelchair. And the next thing I know, what's one of the boys doing? Opening his tefillin bag. So at this point, I start crying. Not like tearing. Here comes the makeup. I was actively crying. I wasn't like sobbing, like heaving in the street, but I was actively crying. So here comes number one. Had my makeup been on, it would have been totally rude. It would have taken me longer to take it off and put it back on. I was actively crying. Sharing something. No, really crying. So they take out the tefillin from the bag, and one boy was doing it, and he puts on shel yad on this man in the wheelchair. You only have to put on over the elbow, and then he just wrapped it one time here around the fingers. Then he moved this big floppy sun hat, and he puts on shel rosh, and he says the words of the bracha, and the man in the wheelchair repeats the words of the bracha. I was frozen. I could not move. Never mind that we have to rush, and we're supposed to be going into Macy's, and we have to. I come, and my husband said, I was just crying. So why was I crying? First of all, what are these three boys doing an hour and 20 minutes before Shabbos? 2 hours technically before Zman. There is not what looks to be a Jew around. They're not getting a plaque on a building. They're not getting a reward in Olam Hazeh. No one's going to tell them you did such a good job. Look what you did. They're not doing it for compliments or pictures in the paper or anything. They want to know, did another Jew put on tefillin today? We still have Zman before the sun sets. Maybe there's a Jew, never mind today, maybe he hasn't put on tefillin in years. They're going to go around. There's noise? What's wrong? They're going around. What's wrong?
If they have a video.
Oh, they started. One second. I'm going to wait till she comes back so she doesn't have to miss it. Ah, okay. So, first of all, I was so moved by what these boys were doing on the street corner 2 hours before Zman. And they were, you know, Zman, they were teenagers. They were young boys going over to an anonymous Jew who they will probably never see again to give him the zchus to put on tefillin. Why is tefillin in Lashon Yachid first and then in Lashon Rabim? Because first you have to put on tefillin for yourself. You have to be osek on the mitzvah for yourself. But you have an achrayas not only to worry if you fulfilled the mitzvah, but you have an achrayas, a responsibility for the Rabbim. Did someone else fulfill the mitzvah today? Brought to mind Hani Machas Allah Alasham. It says in her book that on Pesach she would say, you should carry around matzah in your pocketbook. And if you see someone who you think is Jewish, you should say, do you know it's Pesach? Did you fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah? Why is it first in Lashon Yachid? Because you have an obligation. Ukshartem los al yodecha. Your arm has to lay tefillin today. V'hayu tatafos beninecha. You have to put the shal rosh on top of your eyes. You, Lashon Yachid, the individual. But then the Torah reiterates the mitzvah. Ukshartem osam los al yedchem. Now it's a mitzvah for the plural. V'hayu tatafos beninechem. Why for the plural? You already told me the Yachid. I know, because Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh. Arevus doesn't only mean we're all guarantors, Maseches Aruvin 13b. All of Israel are guarantors for one another, but it doesn't only mean guarantors. Arevus also means to be nice. V'arva l'Hashem Minchas Yehuda V'Shalayim Kimei Ol M'chshanim Kamonios. Arevus also means to be nice. All of Israel are guarantors for one another. I heard that word told over many years ago by Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schechter, but it also means you have to be kind to another person. You have to be compassionate. You have to look out for the other person's well-being. So I was unbelievably taken by what these boys were doing. The second reason I was crying, I think this is the reason I was crying more. Because Hashem sends us a reminder sometimes when we most need it. And to me, it was such obvious Yad Hashem orchestrating the whole day and the whole event. It was such an obvious Hashkacha Pratis. Hashkacha Pratis is always so. I texted my kids the whole story. I said, you know, kids, sometimes we think Hashem, I wasn't home with them anymore. I said, sometimes they think we're in charge. I said, Hashem sends us a reminder. I told them the whole story. What are the odds that my husband forgot his ties? Never happens. But I didn't have time for makeup. That there was a Macy's nearby. That we bypassed Sears, which was closer, that we found parking right away, a block away, the story would never, had they been 5 feet away, the story would never have happened, because I would have gone right into Macy's. Hashem, I just felt orchestrated the whole thing. Remember, you sent me the email, I can't focus, I'm stressed out, I'm tired, blah, blah, blah. So the Babich Rebbe circled back all the I's, and he mailed it back to the person. I'm not saying that I felt, I don't know what I felt. I was very stressed. And Hashem is saying, you think you're in charge. Even here. Especially here. Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh v'anochi lo yadati, says Yaakov Avinu. According to Psha, he's laying down. I'm not talking about Josh. He's on her Maria. According to the level, basic level of understanding, he's on his way to the backwater of Luz and he sleeps. And there's God at the top of the ladder. Malachi Elokim, Olim V'yardim, the angels are going up, going down, and Hashem is talking to him. And he wakes up. Manora Hamakom Hazeh. This place is so holy. Ein Zeki im Beis Elokim, Zeh Shar Hashamayim. Everywhere we are is the Sha'ar Hashamayim. And it was such revealed in that moment, and I can't explain really how my emotions were the hour before, but in that moment standing there, just seeing how Hashem orchestrated all the events for me to be there at the exact time. And also, why did I point out we're all Rebbe and Talmud and bring you that quote from the Rav? Because those boys were my teacher, not even knowing it. So much of what we do in life, we're not always in a structured teacher-student environment. Everything we do, they don't know. I don't know their name. I doubt I'm ever going to see them. I didn't go over to them to say anything when I'm going to start telling them my whole story. They were doing their tafkid, but in doing their tafkid, Hashem orchestrated, I should be there at that exact time, says Rashi, your sons, Elu HaTalmidim. But what does the Rav say about Elu HaTalmidim? What does the Rav say? Every Jew be simultaneously teacher and pupil. And I was the student in that moment to three teenage from boys who did not even know I was standing there. And then I took the story, Vishinantam Levanechav Dibardabam, and I told it back to my children. Every Jew has an obligation not only for mitzvahs for himself, but to ensure mitzvahs for every single other Jew. So I want to quote what came to mind when I was standing there. So I just want to tell you one cute thing. So I texted my brother the story, also my brothers, after I told the kids the story, I texted my brothers the story. So the one who I often quote, who teaches me so much, said, it's a very nice story, Shkoyach for the Chizuk. He said, but you know, even if it doesn't have a happy ending, Hashem's always still in charge. Mm-hmm. Everything's always orchestrated by Hashem. So I said, it's true. But sometimes you just need the reminder. And I was so awe-inspired, beyond words humbled. I don't know how to explain. I was just in tears. Hashem said, I'm right here. I didn't even know. I was so busy, involved in packing and ties and suits and outfits and makeup and getting there and the time. What does Hashem say to Moshe Rabbeinu by the snare? What does he say when he first, he's being a shepherd. He's in the land of Midian. God never revealed himself. There's Moshe. He's just being Joe Shmo. And what does Hashem say? Sal na na'alacha me'al raglacha ki amakam asher ata omed admas kodeshu. Everywhere where you are, take off your feet. What does it mean when you take off your feet? What happens? You feel the ground so much more. Feel where you're standing. Admas kodeshu. Everywhere you're. That was Eretz Mitzrayim. That was Midian. That wasn't Eretz Yisrael. Everywhere can be a holy place. It's our tafkid as we go through life to try and recognize, like my brother said, Yad Hashem. Sometimes it doesn't have the happy ending. Nevertheless, to remind ourselves, Hashem is orchestrating every single moment, every single movement, every single breath. What came to mind is one more section of the Rav that I want to quote. It's very cute. So my husband said, when I stopped crying, we are Macy's. I was still crying about Macy's. The P.S. is we got two beautiful ties. Mazin says, that's going into Shia, right? So he says, and say that. Say, my husband said it's going into Shia.
Of course.
The Rav says.
Can I say a similar story?
No, I want to get through the material first, please. If there's time after. I'm sorry, I apologize. I want to make sure I get through material first. What is Toras Imecha? So the Rav differentiates between Musar Avicha and Toras Imecha. The chastisement, the harshness of the father, and the Torah of the mother. We're quoting a pasuk. Shema b'ni Musar Avicha from Mishlei, v'al titosh Toras Imecha. Hear, my son, the Musar Avicha, the strictness of your father, but do not reject the Torah of your mother. So Rav Soloveitchik gives the most powerful definition between what is the way of the father and what's the way of the mother. What is Toras Imecha, says the Rav? What kind of Torah does the mother pass on? I admit, says Rav Soloveitchik, I'm not able to define precisely the role of the Jewish mother. Why? Because he was a man. Only by circumscription, I hope to be able to explain it. Perhaps permit me to draw upon my own experiences. I used to have long conversations with my mother. It was a monologue. She talked, and I overheard. What did my mother talk about? In Yame Diyoma, matters of the day. She would arrange the house in honor of the holiday. I used to see her daven. I used to see her recite the Sidra every Friday night. I remember the nostalgic tune. I learned very much from her. Most of all, I learned Judaism expresses itself not only in formal compliance with the law, but in a living experience. That's what the mother teaches. My mother taught me, says Rav Soloveitchik, there is a flavor, there is a scent, there is a warmth to mitzvos. And this is the next line that I'm about to tell you, is the line that permit me to say, and I really felt this stand there, and I don't know if I was right or if I was wrong. When I got to Beis Din Shammah after 120, they would tell me, but this is what I felt stand there, and that's why I was crying. I learned from her the most important thing in my life, to feel the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of His hand resting upon my frail shoulders. I was frozen. I could not move. What are the chances that all the cards would line up to put me there at 5:37? At the exact same time, the three boys were putting on tefillin on a man who, I don't know, the last time he put on tefillin, Erev Shabbos. The Rav says the most important thing in life he learned from his mother, to feel the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of his hand resting upon his frail shoulders. I was frozen. I was crying and I could not move. Without her teaching, says the Rav, I would have grown up a soulless being, dry and insensitive. The laws of Shabbos were passed on to me by my father, Musar Avicha. The Shabbos as a queen was revealed to me by my mother. The fathers knew about Shabbos. The mothers lived Shabbos. The fathers taught generations how to observe Shabbos. The mothers taught generations how to greet Shabbos. It was such a revealed Siyata Deshmaya moment. I don't know if I'm adequately conveying the impact of the moment. I want you to be able to feel it, because these are things that we learn together all the time. But that's really how I felt. Hashem was saying, just stop. The odds of this happening are impossible. Just stop. I'm here. Admas Kodesh. Sal na'alecha me'al raglecha. Don't move. Feel where you are. Achein yesh Hashem b'makam hazeh. Hashem can be anywhere. V'anochi lo yadati. And it's true, my brother said. It's true. When we don't get the reminders, it's also him coordinating it. But sometimes you need it. Because you feel so fragile. You feel so nervous. You feel tense. You feel afraid. You need to be reminded. And when he sends the reminder, you mamish feel the presence of the Shechina Kaviyacha resting upon your frail shoulder. But there's a tremendous PS to this story. V'limadetam osam espenechem v'daber bam. Should teach your sons to speak of them. I have to tell you what happened on Sunday, and then I'm going to let you maybe go. My boys are supposed to go to the swimming pool. My parents have a pool in AB, whatever, in their house. There are other family members there. They couldn't go. They were told that they could go at 3. The other people were going at 2. They were allowed to go at 3. 3 o'clock comes, it goes. At 5 to 3, the other people said, we're just going in now. One of the boys was very upset. I was supposed to go at 3. My whole day is being wasted. I need to go to the pool. He was able to go 3:45. He had his time of swimming. It was pushed off, and he was frustrated. He comes home at 5:45, and he says to me, he's 11, Mommy, it was such hashgacha pratis, I couldn't go before. I said, why? He says, because the other family members told us the pool heater was not turned on, and they had to wait an hour. So if I would have gone when I thought I could go, the pool would just have been cold, and I couldn't have swam anyway. And then he said, it was such hashgacha pratis. And again, once again, for the second time as many days, I was dumbfounded. I really couldn't talk. I said, that's amazing. I said, it's just amazing. Every day in life, every moment in life, we are simultaneously, the Rav says it's simultaneous. You're a pupil and you're a teacher at the exact same time. But the godless is that half the time, we don't even know that you're a teacher. And half the time, you don't even know you're a pupil. We have to open ourselves up. We have to allow ourselves to feel what the Rav's mother taught him, the most important thing in his life. There's a flavor. There's a scent. There's a warmth to mitzvos. There's an importance to yahadus, because you feel the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of his hand resting upon our frail shoulders. Even if we don't see it, it's absolute emes. But when we do see it, we have to... Baruch Pokeach Ivrim, that he allows us the opportunity to see it, and keep in mind it is singular because we're all obligated, and then it is plural because we are obligated to make sure others remember as well. And when we can fulfill this, then it's truly Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkeinu Hashem Echa. Not only is our God, he's everyone's God, and we bear true testimony. Eight, the Ayin is big, and the Dalet is big. We bear testimony and witness to the fact that the Ribono Shel Olam is Ein Od, it says in last week's parasha, Milvado. And that's absolutely what we are working on. There is none other besides him. So other times we think we're in charge. We would do well to practically remember, V'yadata Hayam, know it up here, V'ashivosa alavavecha, ki Hashem hu Elokim, v'shamayim mima'al, v'al'aretz mitachos. So thank you for listening to me. I think this is a very important lesson. I was really very, very excited to be able to share with all of you. I wish you a wonderful Shabbos and Besuras Tovas for everyone.